July 8, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 43.
Around the mulberry bush, bears chased the weenie. The weenie thought was all in fun. Crunch goes the weenie. Laugh with me.
Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, at the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Episode 43, baby. Right here to my left, I have PCZ Steven. What's up?
What's up, yo?
We also got Mulberry Bill here.
Wiggity wiggity whack, yo!
How much history has been happening?
There's so much history, I can't keep track of it.
That's right.
I just let it go.
Isn't it crazy when you think about it? History happens every day, Steven.
Yeah. Every second that passes is history.
Very deep stuff, man.
Think about it.
Some wacky stuff. Now, Steven, you're getting over a summer cold, right? Are you feeling any better?
I'm feeling a little better, yeah.
Feeling better there, little guy?
A little sick there in Vegas there, so I didn't get to have any fun.
Now, while you were sick, did you listen to any other podcasts? You know, kind of to...
No.
One thing that I didn't even talk about it in the last couple of weeks is we've been doing an after the show, if you will, with quotes. Clink, clink. A Mulberry after the show. And we stole the idea from Oprah because, hey, let's face it, she's got all the great ideas. The Mulberry Book Club, Bill, tell me you didn't steal that.
Absolutely. You know, Oprah, although we make fun of her and her Yenta tribe, she's got great ideas.
Yes,
she does.
That's
why she's a billionaire.
And if you want to listen to our Mulberry after the show, which essentially what it is, it's the crap that we talk about after the show and now before and after the show, sometimes during the show, that gets cut out of the show because it's just too far in a different direction that has nothing to do with the show. If you guys want to check that out, go to our forum. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com, click on our forum. There's a thread there called After the Show. If you want to listen to the crap we talk about. Oh, what's this? Vanessa's joined us. Hey, Vanessa, I didn't think you were doing the show with us this week. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Come in, Vanessa.
It's Candy Cane.
Candy Cane?
You hear me? Over.
Oh, I got it. That's a reference to a Paul Walker movie, right?
Yes, I know. Shoot me now.
Hey, that's not too bad. Anymore, at least.
Yeah, except for that movie that she's talking about. Oh, what the hell was that movie called?
Joyride.
Joyride. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but the director was John Wall, I think.
Yeah.
He's dead, Jim.
Who the hell's John Wall? The guy who does the America's Most Wanted?
That's Walsh. No.
Oh, no, it's the guy from Wise Guy. I got you.
No, that's Ken Wall. Ken Wall. Or is it John? No, John Dahl.
John Dahl. Oh, yeah, yeah. He did, like, Red Rock West, and he also did...
Yeah, love that movie.
The Last Seduction. Am I right? Yeah, he's a great director. I don't know why the hell he did that piece of horse shit, but...
He did The Great Raid, too, which was actually pretty good.
You know what? Lely Sobieski is in that. The Poor Man's Helen Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
We established that on last week's After the Show, if you want to listen.
Yeah,
to that.
She nips out a few times in it, too.
She does?
Oh, yeah.
That pervert. I think she's, like, underage in that movie.
No, when they first pick her up at, like, school or whatever, she's full-on nippage.
Bill is starting a new website called Full-On Nippage. Could you do that, Bill, where you point it out in every movie?
Sure, but that's what Mr. Skin's for.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, guys, I know Vanessa was really upset about the Star Jones thing last week.
Yes, I wept for days.
She appeared on Larry King pretty much letting us all know what the true story is behind all this, and I thought we'd check it out. Let's check it out.
The viewers deserved, after 9 years, me to not go out in a circus atmosphere.
But Barbara Walters told me that she had arranged with you, your agent, and everybody to have a goodbye on Thursday. They were going to do a whole kind of tribute to you for a full hour, showing highlights of the past 9 years with the view. That's not true.
Actually,
so does Star Jones.
I never agreed to any of that. I agreed that I would make the announcement.
And she looks bizarre now after getting that surgery.
You know those dolls you get like at the carnival and you squeeze them, the eyes bug out? That's what she looks like.
Yeah, dress dolls.
I didn't feel that
way. Her eyes are all buggy.
After being told that my
contract was not going to be renewed. She looked better fat. She's got that huge head.
You know, that's such a tough word. I looked at it as a business decision.
I like hot dogs.
In April,
okay,
when I was told
I like gay
the
men.
Numbers weren't adding up and that
I'm
they were
going
to make a change, I, you know, emotionally, you go, after 9 years, you want to be angry and upset, but
I love being on The View. And if you like me on The View, please go to 1-800-FLOWERS and order me some flowers.
And I went to work, and I said, it's a business decision. But it then became very, very personal in the media, and that started to hurt.
Why not wait till Thursday?
It does hurt.
When you wake up Tuesday morning,
so does anal sex.
And the night before,
her husband told her about that.
Yeah.
To the point where I couldn't even go outside.
Honey, it hurts.
And walk my dog.
When I walk my dog?
Walking the dog.
I need to do this on my own terms. I called my pastor.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
And I said,
Star Jones, don't believe in this horseshit in the media.
When I spoke to Barbara yesterday, one of the things she was most upset about.
Uh-oh, name dropping. He spoke
to
Barbara.
People magazine before Tuesday.
Yes.
You had taken pictures.
Yes.
For publication this week. You had told your whole story of being fired. And yet, on the air, it looked like you quit.
Well, on the air, I said I was moving. The show was moving in another direction.
Vanessa, is this all bringing up bad feelings?
That's actually what
I want to slit my wrists.
Her ass was moving in another direction.
From April, because I really want you to look back to when
you know, one thing that people her whole thing with losing the weight, she never admitted how she lost the weight, did she?
The terms I chose.
She had a band surgery, I think.
Yeah, she never said that, though.
Yeah, she said she lost it naturally.
People Magazine.
Yeah, up until here recently.
Because I lost it naturally by walking to the doctor's office and making an appointment.
And calling my pastor.
There was going to be a time.
Nice
that
bill.
The viewers wanted to know what actually happened.
Why didn't you tell Barbara that she had spoken to people?
Pretty much probably the same reason she hasn't spoken to me yet.
I said, Jesus, melt this fat away.
Hallelujah.
She told me after the fact.
But Larry,
no, I said, Jesus, book me on more talk shows to talk about this. Because my candle is fading out.
My candle. I live in a can.
And then I was told, I want you to know how it happened.
She told me it was not her decision.
Jesus, please help me
decision.
With more self-promotion.
I
throw my ego.
How long till Star Jones the book, my story?
I was told.
I'm just wondering how long till we forgave her completely about her.
Yeah, I already have. Foggy was like, you got to play this. I'm a huge Star Jones fan.
Damn you, Foggy.
And then my agent
he's waiting for
it.
He was even telling me that he can't wait till Star Jones has a show the same time as The View and knocks him out of the ratings.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm sad that
I'm going to have to check out The View and
get it on the logo
to build
channel.
Was used
do what?
Thanks. She getting it on the logo channel.
Oh, yeah.
I think you were attacked there?
Well,
I was attacked by wild dogs.
Our viewers to decide, but you know.
Do you have any snossages, Larry? Snossages aren't those for dogs.
Well,
I just love the way they taste. Snossages.
Is she a hick now?
Several months ago, there was a hot topic.
Oh, listen to this.
And the hot topic was on the question of loyalty. The discussion was, what do you do when a friend?
What would you do with the Klondike bar was the question.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck? If a woodchuck could chuck wood,
disloyal.
How many giant bites does it take to get the center of this Tootsie Pop? So that was a hard-hitting interview on Larry King. I hope you guys all check that out.
Larry, have you ever had a Tostitos pizza roll?
Yeah, she's just on there talking about. No, that's a great star, but I want to talk about this view issue. I ate me a meatball sandwich on the way here. It is delicious.
But I can only
love
have three bites because my stomach's
I get extra mayo on my seafood sub.
Did you know I could see at night with these bug eyes?
If I hit myself in the back of the head, I can see in infrared.
Excuse me, now why go into my pupil stage?
Pupa stage?
Sure. Did you know if I bite you, I give you malaria?
No.
I give you Lyme.
I got it from my husband.
I give you Lyme disease, Larry.
I am a descendant from a deer tick.
And the reason I'm skinny is because I ain't drank no blood lately.
What is
Dick
with the clock?
Clock's been taking all my blood. You know he drinks the blood of babies.
Larry, would you put out that citronella candle? It's making me sick. Oh, man. We really got nothing, don't we? Let's do entertainment.
About ready to kill you.
It's the hit summer movie blockbuster time, and all this talk of Superman and X-Men, we forgot about it's Attack of the Wilson Brothers. Now, you may be asking, Steven, who are the Wilson Brothers?
Oh, I know who the Wilson Brothers.
No, you're supposed to ask.
Who are the Wilson Brothers? That,
it's Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson of Bottle Rocket fame, right? We all love
Don't them. Even equate that movie anywhere near the shit they're putting out now.
I just want to know what the hell happened to these guys. Because I love Bottle Rocket. I love Rushmore.
Bottle Rocket is a classic.
Right. And Rushmore I love, too. There are other movies I like, too.
Life
but,
Aquatic.
Yeah, but, you know, not as much as Rushmore.
More Life Aquatic was painful.
This is more of a Wes
Anderson. I really like the Wes Anderson.
Yeah, watch it.
But that's more of a Wes Anderson conversation. Yeah. We'll wait till he comes out with a new movie. But this is about the Wilson brothers and their attack on Hollywood. We have two trailers here, each a Wilson brother. Let's try to see which one will be worse. The first one is called My Super Ex-Girlfriend, directed by Ivan Reitman. Ivan Reitman, Ghostbusters.
He's got a good good record.
Co-starring Uma Thurman. Or I guess she's the star. I don't know. Uma Thurman and Luke Wilson. And anyway, let's check out the trailer.
Anna Faris.
Let's check out the trailers.
Oh, check that out. Uptight librarian on the outside, ready to rumble on the inside. Not my type.
Rainn Wilson from The Office?
Hi. I know I don't really know you, but you look like a very interesting person, so if possibly sometime I might maybe buy you a cup of...
No. Ooh, I must be a little nervous.
That's okay. I got a closet full of them. Let me handle this one up.
Let's take care of these.
Okay.
Thank you. Different color roses mean different things. Red ones mean passion or love. But don't worry, I'm not saying that I think you're telling me that you love me. Maybe someday. Or never. No pressure.
Dude, what's wrong? My first impression of Jenny was accurate.
What's this?
She seems a little needy, jealous, controlling.
The trifecta. Perfect.
Sounds like a nutcase.
Okay, listen to me. Take her hand in your hand. Say, sweetheart, I think we just need to take a little time off from the relationship to
re-examine where this is going.
Are you breaking up with me?
No.
You are breaking up with me. You are so gonna regret this.
Don't worry about that. They always say that.
Oh, no.
This summer, if you thought breaking up was hard...
I hate music and trailers.
I got your back. Oh.
Try breaking up with a superhero.
Fine, young cannibals, they are.
Don't let go. Where's my car?
You are headed for some serious trouble.
Yeah, I hear you, homegirl. I got it.
What did you just call me?
Uma Thurman. Is Wanda Sykes in every movie now?
Yes.
What do you call her in the
what? That was close.
She's the token black comic relief. Yeah.
You gotta laugh to keep from crying, right?
My super ex-girlfriend.
Deep down, I had a feeling that you'd realize your mistake and come back to me. That's why I didn't kill you.
Oh man, it's so bad. I hate the way they put trailers together and they put bad songs together. And
the only thing this movie has going for it is Eddie Izzard. He plays,
he's hilarious.
I guess, Uma Thurman's nemesis.
Ah, I gotcha. So basically, Luke Wilson's dating Uma Thurman, who's also a superhero. And she's needy and he dumps her, and then she starts making his life hell.
But is she really a superhero if she's making his life hell? Isn't that kind of a...
This is one of those movies that it's like people staying up late at night and come up with ideas like, man, that would be a funny movie, but... No, the next day you're supposed to just forget about it.
This is the drunken creative cycle.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know it would be really funny, man.
Picture like Supergirl, but you dump her and she hates you, man. She throws a great white shark at you, man.
It's genius.
And do you think that's going to be a...
Sounds like a bad Saturday Night Live skit.
On the commercial, they keep showing the part where she throws a great white shark through a window at him. Mm-hmm. That will be a dream sequence, trust me. But we'll see, because I'll never see it. So someone will have to tell me.
Maybe
on cable a few years later.
Yeah, on HBO. It'll premiere on Saturday.
So stay tuned for episode number 230 of Nowhere
yeah.
Mulberry.
Now, it'll be sooner than that. What is this, 43 episode? Three.
That's when we'll remember it.
Yeah. The next Wilson brother is Owen Wilson, called You, Me, and Dupree. It stars Owen Wilson, Matt Dillon, and Kate Hudson.
Oh, hell, there's a lineup. I'm there.
It looks like a great movie, you guys.
Oh, no.
Let's check it out.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Yeah!
It was the perfect wedding. The perfect honeymoon. The perfect match.
The perfect voiceover guy.
Until...
How you doing, pal?
Turns out I got fired for taking that week off to go to the wedding.
One, two, three, Carl!
Also ran into a little bit of a cash flow situation. Ended up losing my apartment.
You living out of your car?
Carl, I'm not an animal. Besides, I was a company car, so when I lost the job, it's all right. I got a little 10-speed I picked up.
I'm okay!
Look, you're going to come home. You're going to stay with us.
Dupree? Live with us?
Just for a couple of nights till he gets back on his feet.
Hey, listen, Molly, I really, really appreciate this.
Really, there's no problem.
Thanks.
Nice moose.
Next summer.
This is not exactly how I picture
it. Oh, perfect song cue in this trailer.
Company.
I think I know how to help you relax.
Little Steeler's wheel.
A crowd.
Sorry to interrupt.
Keep sorry.
The downstairs
trucking.
Toilet is on the fritz again.
I'm as mad
on
as
the
you guys
fritz.
Are.
It's on the fritz.
Please tell me he's joking.
We're going to need some matches.
Universal Pictures presents...
The only
Owen
thing this
Wilson,
trailer's missing
Kate
is
Hudson,
Michael Madsen
Matt
cutting
Dillon,
someone's ear off.
Michael yeah. Douglas.
What's the tie doing on our door?
Looks like Dupree brought in date home.
Ah! Oh! That butter dish was a wedding gift, Carl.
I can explain.
We got neighbors, man. I know you do.
Oh, my God. Molly, call the fire department.
Mandy!
No!
You, me... And Dupree.
Why did you have to use so many candles?
I was just trying to set a mood.
This looks like it has a possibility of being funny over my super ex-girlfriend. That looks like just a concept that they're running with. This is like the best friend that won't leave, right? And I even think Owen Wilson is funny. It's just the... Wouldn't you agree, Bill, that it's the movie selections they're making? Like I'd say, Luke Wilson is... just keeps doing one crappy romantic comedy after another.
Yeah, they've got to be doing these for paychecks. They can't actually enjoy this crap.
too.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Owen Wilson made movies without Ben Stiller anymore. I was kind of shocked by that.
Ben's going to be in it somewhere.
I think Ben Stiller shows up in probably both of them.
Bill, I have a gun to your head. You have a choice to see one of these movies or I'll kill you. Which one do you see?
My Super Ex-Girlfriend because of Eddie Izzard.
Right, okay. Steven?
I'm just a total Eddie Izzard fan. Love the guy.
He's great.
Steven,
he's
I'll kill you unless you see one of these. Which one?
Pull the trigger.
Nah, he just couldn't do it. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo.
This is an X-rated bookstore.
And now, a Mulberry News Break.
Now to a case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Tonight, a Chicago man is a bit worse for the wear, but alive after he accidentally ran himself over with his own car. Take a look at this video. The 56-year-old man lives in the Albany Park neighborhood. He apparently left his car running and started to unload the trunk. The car somehow slipped into reverse and hit him. He has two broken fingers and some stitches. He's going to be fine. We don't know about the two cars.
I hate when that happens.
Unbelievable.
So he's a dumbass.
Don't you love when reporters are like, oh.
Yeah, they're like fake laughing through the story. Oh,
I hate it when that happens, John.
Turns out the old man died.
He trampled a basket of puppies. Next we'll have the weather. Hey, Foggy, great sound clip. You think it could be any worse, son of a bitch?
It's a lot of tension between you guys.
Yeah, me and Foggy, we're just not getting along lately. He's just like, I can't depend on him for anything. Everything he does is wrong. Hey, did anyone check out America's Got Talent, one of the best shows on TV right now? The night it was on, you gotta hand it to NBC. They air it when nothing else is on. You know,
so well, you end up staying on the channel.
And this moment on the show, they had jugglers. We all know that
Everybody loves a juggler.
The Hoff.
No, they had more jugglers?
Yeah, they had bowling ball jugglers.
It seems the world is full of jugglers.
Yeah, they are just like, and what do they think they're going to hit it big? What famous jugglers exist in the world?
I know.
Now, in this clip, these jugglers decided to have a little fun, and there's one point where one of the jugglers throws the bowling ball at the other juggler's head and it hits him on the head. Now just listen to the reaction of the crowd of this. It's ridiculous.
We're actually going to start by juggling one of these.
Bowling ball juggling. Yes,
that's right.
Just starting with the bowling ball.
Nobody does that, John.
Freaking bowling ball. Yeah.
Actually, juggling one bowling ball is pretty darn impressive, but actually, what would be more impressive than juggling with one bowling ball? Well, two.
Oh my God. He's okay.
It's
he's
just
fine.
The old rubber bowling ball.
It's rubber.
They got us.
It's the best time.
Oh, my God.
That's right. This is entertainment in America on television. And they're dead. So, anyway, don't check out that show. Now,
so what does that teach you? Don't teach your children to juggle.
So it's so awful. Now, did anyone see Rockstar Supernova?
No.
Last season, Steven, it was Rockstar INXS.
Supernova? Who the hell is Supernova?
It's a new band that Tommy Lee decided to get together with Jason Newsted, formerly Metallica, and some other guy who I don't know. They're putting together a new rockin' band. And in this clip, they just might have found her. You know, this is so stupid on this show. They basically do covers of songs everyone knows, like Nirvana, Soundgarden, or whatever. And then they pick who they
think
is the
style,
best.
Yeah.
And sometimes the music isn't bad. It's a great...
They're a good cover band. That's all they need to be is...
They're covering something.
Yeah, it's like going to see the Doors cover band or the Who cover band.
This chick, I believe her name was Delana, does a cover...
Does she sing Janis Joplin?
She does a cover of a famous Nirvana song. Let's check it out.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Oh, hell
oh, yeah.
Oh, I think I just heard Kurt Cobain shoot himself again.
And Tommy Lee was like, yeah! He was like jumping up, yeah! He totally was like buying it.
At least, you know, if you watched NXS Rockstar, you know, they sit there. Every once in a while, you'd see them get into the song. You know, none of them ever stood up like, yeah, this is going to be it.
I think he already picked the singer off of the first contestant. He's like, all right, the show's over, man. Done. We got our singer, dude.
She's hot.
I'm going to nail her, totally.
Exactly.
It's like, dude, Tommy, you can't do that, man. We got to do the show. So that's Rockstar Supernova. Check it out.
I'll check it out next
week. And I got to tell you guys one thing about the show. It's endorsed by the Rondu. He told me, totally awesome.
I'm there next week. I'll try one episode.
Now, guys, this week was short on TV shows because it was a slow week. It was a holiday week. You know, happy 4th of July, by the way, guys. Hope you guys all had fun.
Happy Independence Day.
Yep, saw some nice fireworks. Now, but there was an Entourage, and I want to talk about that. Last week on Entourage, we talked about Dominic, the Dominator, showing up.
We speculated how we'd to get rid of him.
Yeah, and I was convinced this would be a season-long story arc, Steven, that basically they would not be able to get rid of him until maybe the finale. I was wrong about that.
Two episodes.
We were all wrong.
Now, the episode starts out, which is funny, with them trying to ditch Dom and take the car before he wakes up. Because, you know,
before he's done with his hooker.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy is getting a lot of hookers, isn't he? They go to Ari's office because Ari has some exciting news. Let's check this out.
Flight. Dead Poets Society in Space. Character-driven. Great script. Darren Aronofsky's directing. They're offering you $8 million. The Sandman. You're a retard at a Red Cross tent in the Sahara. It's Being There meets Lawrence of Arabia. David O. Russell's directing. They're offering you $9 million.
Take it, Vin.
We got a stack of great ones, just like those.
So what's the point, Ari?
The point is they all want our boy. But what our boy wants, we got to work for.
What do I want?
Medellin.
Medellin?
Medellin?
Medellin. Boom, you're going to play Pablo Escobar just like you wanted.
I thought that script was dead.
It was dead. Then Phil Rubenstein gave it CPR. He saw Aquaman and he loved it.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Phil Rubenstein?
He is only the animation king, made like $600 trillion, made like Madagascar and Shrek. Now he wants to work with real people and he loves you.
That's great.
That's not all. Paul Haggis is directing it. First thing since he crashed the Oscars.
Paul Haggis?
He loves you too. Only one problem.
I love all the names, the real names they use in the show.
How do we get Phil Rubenstein to say yes?
We go to Santa Barbara and we charm his pants off, all right? He's going to throw a kickoff party for his new cult wine and he invited us.
Us?
Well, I do know my wines.
I have to clear my parole officer if I'm going across county lines, Vince.
Can the boys come?
They can come. He needs sleeves.
Yeah, Dom needs sleeves.
He's always wearing the white beater.
Yeah, so they go to Phil Rubenstein's house, and it's played by Bruno Kirby.
I like the Kirby.
A very bloated Bruno Kirby.
Yeah, he's getting big.
He's put on a little weight. Their whole thing is just to keep Dom from embarrassing everyone, because that's what the guy does. But he, of course, is over there.
Charms the pants off.
Yeah, off of Phil Rubenstein, and he's talking about how Vinny, he's a guy's guy, he's from the neighborhood. And I just hate the way the guy talks. You know, it's like, he's a buddy, he's my bro, and all this, so...
He's a really horrible character.
And so the next day, everything's going well, except Phil Rubenstein, who did the movie Shrek. What was it supposed to be?
The Shrek model.
The original Shrek. It was stolen out of his house that night.
And he's in bed sulking about it. I loved how they showed him in this gigantic bed all alone, just on the phone yelling at people.
Because his Shrek doll is gone. And, of course, naturally they think it's Dom, you know, immediately. And, of course, you know it's Dom. He's a freaking thief, right?
Yeah.
And he won't admit to it. And I love the part where Turtle and Drama are... They're going through his, they're rummaging through his stuff. And he's like, I don't remember if it was the red shirt or the white shirt on top. And he goes, just take both shirts out. It's better to not have shirts than to have them in the wrong place.
And Dom confronts him. And he's like, where are all my shirts?
He's like,
I had like three shirts.
No, he said, I had five shirts and I only have three now. Where are my two shirts? They didn't think he would ever notice. It's like, that was a great plan just to throw them out. And he's like, I only have five shirts. I only have three now. basically,
then Ari and Eric get together and say, listen, we know it had to be Dom. Let's work together to get rid of him.
Yeah, so...
And Ari comes over with the VHS tape.
Yeah, he says, I have footage of you stealing the Shrek doll. And, of course, you know, he calls his bluff. He's like, put that in the VCR, press play. If it's not what you say it is, I'm going to basically beat your ass. And it's Ari's daughter's bat mitzvah. I thought that was great. But, of course, Vince knows when Dom is lying.
Yeah.
He knows his tell from poker when he's lying. So he gets him to convince, and he has the Shrek doll tied around his ankle.
He goes, it's been inside an unsavory place.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, because he was just with this hooker. And for some reason, this guy gets hookers, and then he likes to have his door wide open while he's having sex with them. So the guys will walk by and see. It's so disgusting.
Yeah, and he keeps asking Vince for money because he's getting the more high-priced hookers.
Right, and so basically what happens at the end, they pretty much, they get Dom to admit it, and they return the Shrek doll by throwing it over the guy's gate.
Because Shrek in bubble wrap.
Yeah, wrapped in bubble wrap. They don't want him to know who took it. All is good, they buy off Dom. It sounds like what they did is they gave him their H2 Hummer. And they gave him a severance package. Yeah, and an apartment, a place to live. They basically bought him off to leave him alone, basically.
Yeah, they gave him the car, the an apartment, and like a monthly, I guess, allowance to stay away from them.
And it seems like all is well until...
What's the word, Ari? Got anything new to report?
Yeah, I just got a call from Rubenstein. Apparently they found his doll somehow.
Oh. So we're all good then, right?
No, we're not. Just got off the phone with Warner Brothers. They're so excited about the Aquaman opening that they've greenlit Aquaman 2.
Well, that's good, no?
Nah. Start date is September 8th. Same day as Medellin.
Huh? What the hell's with the music? So now they're screwed because Aquaman is starting the same time. So it looks like the next episode is all about trying to get Aquaman pushed back so he can do this movie.
Or Medellin. One of the two is going trying to get one pushed back.
So I'm liking where the show's going. I'm glad they got rid of Dom fast. I was worried he was going to be on all season long.
Yeah, he'd be annoying.
Hey, Vanessa.
Crock up! Crock up! Crock up!
Sounds like an overmodulated fart.
So that was Entourage this week. Check it out on HBO. Okay, guys. Something serious happened this week. Big Brother All-Stars returned. And it's awesome. Vanessa, did you watch it like you were supposed to?
Yes, I did.
Now, Bill, let me ask you right now. Were you happy with the people that made it into the house?
No.
Why weren't you happy with who got into the house?
I thought the producers fell back on... way too much prettiness. You know, there's a lack of personality there. I think there was a couple that they should have chosen that weren't even on the list.
Are you wondering why the hell Chicken George is in the house?
Yeah, you know, I think that was just...
kind of a charity
maybe,
vote thing?
No, I think it's a nostalgia thing because he's from the first season.
You had to have somebody from the first season in there,
I guess. Yeah, and nobody that was on the first season probably wanted to do the show.
They didn't want to live through that nightmare again. And the thing is, they had to throw that monkey wrench in there, which is the... They had to throw... It does muck things up. You throw in the sweet guy who's a family man who's not evil or mean or anything. It kind
of
like,
but he's so annoying and naive.
He's so boring, I think.
Yeah.
Now, I'm glad Yvette didn't make it in, for sure.
Oh.
But they did have... Mike Boogie did make it in there. Which...
Yeah, and everybody's saying that because Will got in, Dr. Will... it was part of his contract.
Which is ridiculous. That's not true.
Bring Mike Boogie in.
They just put him in there.
Well, they run a crap load of restaurants together. They're constantly plugging them on the feeds.
Right. Now, Vanessa, I know you haven't watched Big Brother before. The guy...
Yeah, I saw the first season.
Oh, okay. The guy, Will, who made it in, he's the only winner that's in the house. He won Big Brother 2, and he did it in a really... he did it in a way where... Some people were like, I won't play dirty or anything. He basically said, I'm a liar, and I'm going to do everything I can to win, basically, didn't he? He's very arrogant. and you can't trust him. Now, can he do the same thing now? He can't.
No.
It already looks like he's kind of being friendly, and he's made buddies with Howie. And,
I have a weird question.
He's already being targeted to get out.
Yeah, what is it, Vanessa?
They call him Dr. Will. Is it that just a nickname, or is he really a doctor?
Yes, he's really a doctor.
Okay.
He is a plastic surgeon, isn't he, Bill?
I thought he was an oncologist. I have no idea.
No, he was talking about yesterday. He was talking about he's done, like, Botox injections and stuff like that. He does...
Well, anyone can do that shit.
Yeah. Steven gives himself Botox. Yeah.
I'm like a little black rat market in your head.
Black market Botox. News at 11. Now, I'm happy that pretty much who got in the house. The Yvette was the one that I couldn't stand.
Which one?
Yvette is the girl from BB6 last season. She's the...
Who gave away the $1 million.
She's the...
She chose Maggie over Janelle.
She's like the Puerto Rican. She would always say, don't make me get Puerto Rican on your ass or whatever. It's just like, dude,
yeah, and she was
honey.
The token gay.
It's like, honey, that's getting a little old, all right? With your Puerto Rican crap. That would get really old. You know, it's only been one episode, and basically what happens is Jace and Janelle become head of household. Ooh, it's the big twist, Bill. There's two heads of household this season, and they have to agree on who to nominate, or they get put up on the block. So naturally, Danielle, which I think is hilarious, she comes up, hey, let's convince them to not agree, and then we'll vote Janelle out.
Yeah, did you notice how the editors played that up through the entire episode? Like, oh no, they're not going to agree. Jace is not going to agree.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, oh, they're both going to be up there. And then they come out with the nominations and they nominate Danielle and Allison. Well, it would be stupid to be, you know, head of household.
And then put yourself on the block.
Yeah.
Because one thing, Vanessa, one thing that's interesting about this show, if you go up on the block, say it's like, okay, Jason, we're going to put you on the block with Steven, and we're going to vote Steven off, so don't worry about it, okay? But in a week's time, Steven has been so cool to you guys, he's been chilling out with you, and I've been off doing my own thing because I'm safe. And you're like, you know what, let's get rid of Jason, he's boring. Let's get rid of his stupid ass Steven, he's been making us laugh, you know. He's been making his sandwiches, and they taste really good. Jason, he's got bad gas, and all of a sudden, the time comes to evict. We evict Jason. I'm like, what the hell, man? We had a deal! You know,
Steven made a sandwich.
That happens every week on Big Brother, does it not, Bill?
Steven snoring puts us to sleep.
Yeah, it's like music.
Yeah, Predator snort makes us laugh.
Nah, it's funny how sometimes people are just so... clueless to the whole situation.
Right.
It happens every year. And the other thing I'm not really big about this season is I don't really think it's a season. It's all these prior people in the house.
It's definitely
different.
They all
know each other. They all, who knows how many people talk to each other before the show and have like secret alliances. There's too much comfortableness going on inside the house. You know, it's better whenever they're all strangers because you don't know who to trust.
Well, so far, I think it's like this every season, though. The first week is very relaxed, though.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to get nominated. The two people have been nominated, Danielle and Allison, and they deserve so.
Yeah.
They were the first ones to stir crap up. And Janelle even said that. You guys just started playing the game way too hard, all right? We're going to put you guys up. You guys need to chill out for a second. We haven't even, like, unpacked your bags yet. Just stop with this, you know.
Danielle's already ready to get somebody out.
And, you know, they all are like, there's too many Big Brother 6 people in here. We need to get rid of all of them. And
the smart thing would be to align with them.
Right, and that's what Jace did, it looks like. Jace was like, hey, you know, can I trust you guys? And James even said, which I don't trust James worth anything, but he said,
no.
I trust James more than I do Janelle and Kacer, because you know Kacer.
I haven't even heard anything from Kacer, and I've been watching the feeds. It's like he's staying out of view.
Well, that's the best thing to do the first couple of weeks, because whoever gets HOH next week, they're like, okay, who am I? Okay, Kacer, he's been talking about strategy a lot. Let's get rid of his stupid ass, you know.
That's his strategy this season, is just stay under the radar.
You want to stay under the radar the first couple of weeks and then make your move. And essentially, you can't even make a move until you become HOH, really, or unless somebody who's really, you're really tight with becomes HOH. Then you can say, you really should get this person out, you know? And it's the first person to get voted out is usually somebody who did something to attract negativity towards them. And that was Allison and Danielle, because they started starting shit early.
Yeah.
And which of those two would you like to see out?
You know what? That's a Steven situation where I would like to just shoot myself in the head. Because, because both of them need to go. They're both equally annoying.
Right. But they...
I think Danielle maybe learned her lesson from playing the game a little too hard, a little too early.
Yeah.
She seems to be getting along well with other people. So I would dump Allison.
Yeah, I think I would too. But Danielle, she's pretty conniving, though.
Yeah, she's very conniving. And she really screwed Marcellus in, I think it was season 4. So.
And how much did you love Marcellus when he didn't get selected with the America's vote? And he's like, everyone's adorable gay black man. Why didn't they vote me? He's like all hurt. But of course the producers put him in. And I love when they did the HOH thing. They did the. It was like you aim a meteor at the other people on a pedestal, and you try to knock them off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see that bit with Will where Will grabbed on the meteor and he wanted to land, swing around, and then land back on his pedestal?
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah, I have a clip of that. Let's check it out.
Her eyes lit up. She put everything she had, all 120 pounds and 40 tattoos behind it.
Some awesome music.
And Will is not on his pedestal any longer.
I'm trying.
I thought if I could jump on the asteroid and ride it and ride back and land on the podium, I thought everyone would fear me so much. It didn't work out so well. I kind of rode the asteroid and then landed up in the goop.
Yeah, that was pretty...
I would really fear someone if they...
Yeah. Ooh, he's a bigger dork than I thought, but knew before him.
He's an intense competitor.
And I love when they put up... They put up Allison and Danielle. He's like, I'm insulted they didn't put me up. You know, they're stupid for not putting me up. They should fear me. It's like, dude, whatever. I have a feeling Will's going to go out like with a whimper. You know, it's
you
just...
know, his girlfriend is Erin Brody, who was in the first for Love or Money on NBC. And then they brought her back for the second one after she had already won $1 million to... get a guy to choose her over the money so that she could get another million, and she did that too. So she's like the biggest reality star moneymaker.
Good Lord. Wow. So that's Big Brother All-Stars. There's not much to talk about this week. We'll have to wait until there's been an eviction and, you know, they've had eating competitions, food competitions. They have a new HOH, so we'll see what happens. But so far, not a bad setup. We'll wait and see what happens.
Be there.
Yeah, be there.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Want to get hosting for your podcast? Wait, let me rephrase that. Want to get hosting for your podcast without paying a bandwidth bill? Then make the switch to switchpod.com. Take a look at SwitchPod's free podcast hosting, free to you and a small ad in your feed. Or you can get a premium ad-free account for as little as $3 a month. You're happy? We're happy. Switch it over and switch it on. SwitchPod.com. Podcast hosting the way it should be.
All right, Vanessa, you ready to do the news?
That's how we end every show from now on.
Get out of there! It's a trap!
Acting of the century.
All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
In New York, a woman who found out that the man who proposed to her was married can keep the $40,000 engagement ring he gave her, even though she was the one who broke off the relationship, a judge ruled. Judge Rolando T. Acosta said that because Brian Callahan was still married when he gave Dana Clyburn Parker a 3.41-carat diamond engagement ring, the agreement to marry was void. Acosta noted that Callahan was in the process of getting a divorce in Massachusetts when he proposed. In June 2002, Callahan of Manhattan received a judgment of divorce, nisi, meaning the divorce from his wife had been approved but would not be official for 90 days. That July, Callahan, who was 36, and Parker of Charleston, South Carolina, got engaged in South Carolina. They had met on the internet in September 2001. Parker, a mortgage broker, dumped Callahan after finding evidence on his computer that he had been trolling for women on the internet and after learning he was still married. Callahan, who works in the financial services industry, sued in July 2003 to get the ring back, or alternatively, he wants the $40,000 and his personal property. While the judge did allow Parker to keep the ring, he did order her to return his personal property. Callahan's lawyer said his client has not decided whether or not he should appeal. So normally what happens, because it's a contract, that if, let's say, the woman breaks up with the guy, she is, by law, supposed to give the ring back. But since this guy was still married, he couldn't ask for it. It's not really an engagement ring.
California is, huh?
It's a friendship ring.
It's a gift.
Wow, so he got totally screwed.
Well, that's his fault. He shouldn't have been doing that.
As you said, he shouldn't have been trolling for some strange...
That's right, on the
performing
internet.
...performing sexual acts.
He shouldn't have given a $40,000 engagement ring.
Yeah, what is that about?
Engagement ring.
Why would someone give someone that expensive of an engagement ring and then want to screw around on them? I mean, give her like a $1,000 engagement ring.
I mean, if you've got 40 grand to throw away, just give 5 grand.
Just get a hooker. Go to the freaking HBO, that Chicken Ranch, whatever it's called. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, it's so much cheaper.
Yeah.
All right, in Berlin, a Berlin bus driver crashed into a parked car after being hit in the head with a beer bottle by a passenger who had disputed his views over Germany's defeat by Italy in their World Cup semifinal.
Oh, Hock-toing!
The passenger and the driver were alone in the bus traveling through southwest Berlin, not far from the team hotel, about 2 a.m. and were discussing the match Germany had lost 2-0 just a few hours earlier. When the driver commented that German players weren't good enough, the passenger started insulting him. He then suddenly hit the driver in the head with a beer bottle. The driver temporarily lost control of the bus and ran to park. Although the bus was only going about 18 miles per hour at the time, the passenger opened an emergency exit and ran off. Police are still searching for the man who was wearing a German team jersey with number 20, the same as the Germany striker Lukas Podolski.
It was Jubal.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
It was Jubal.
You're right. Your team sucks. That's my German accent.
I give you a beer bottle to the head.
See, that's Russian.
Would you like
too.
To watch my movie?
Retarded.
No one wants to watch that.
I'm going to make a soccer movie.
An Irish hearse driver has been fined for speeding while leading a funeral procession. Police ordered undertaker John Carr to pay a $102 fine and gave him 2 penalty points off of his driver's license for driving around 43 miles per hour, which is 69 kilometers per hour in a 50 kilometer per hour zone.
Well, he had a deal with the Enos brothers to get the corpse there to Texarkana and back in time.
Awesome.
Several other vehicles in the procession on its way to a funeral in County Donegal, northwest Ireland, were also fined, and their drivers threatened with prosecution if they did not pay. Hundreds of people were caught in the same area during a police crackdown last month, including parents taking their children to school. I've never ever heard of a hearse being done for speeding before. I supposed I'll probably have to pay the fine. I'm not too worried about the points because I intend not to incur any more. That's a new one.
Yeah,
speeding
right,
hearse.
Right.
A whole funeral procession with speeding.
That's awesome.
Well, they're in a hurry. You know, you got to get that corpse in the ground.
It's cold.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Maybe they only wanted to get to the.
I think the snowman was watching out for Smokies and just kind of missed one. Yeah, they're eastbound and down.
The first reference worked, second one, not so good.
Come on!
All right. A Chinese man in Beijing bought 2 dozen Barbie dolls to keep
one, two, three.
Go ahead and eat it.
No, two dozen, not one, two, three.
Keep his whining 8-year-old daughter quiet, but only meant howls of protest from his wife instead. The man was so desperate to please his daughter, he spent the equivalent of $625 on 10 school bags and 20 Barbie dolls.
Screw the small judo man.
The father's shopping sprees ended up frightening his daughter, who stopped making gift demands, but the wasted money angered his wife, who threatened to divorce him. Pampered offspring are the result of China's one-child policy, and known as little emperors, are expected to underpin a domestic consumption boom in the next decade. The one-child policy was introduced in 1977 to manage a population that officially hit 1.3 billion last year. Of course, this Barbie doll story ends happily. The man's mother-in-law had the bags and dolls sent back, and the shop refunded all the money.
It's so nice, guy. Let's do it.
That's how they get multiple babies. They do it.
Well, it's becoming a big problem with the new generation, because of them being only have one children. They're afraid of what is it going to be like when these kids grow up.
They're all going to be selfish brats.
Yeah, because that's the new, their generation's called the little emperors, because they're getting everything they want. So now they're like, oh God, these kids are going to one day run our country.
By the way, Vanessa, this story is sponsored by
Calorie Mate.
I love Calorie Mate.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me more energy in less time.
You sound so energetic.
You really sold that product.
That's a selling point.
That's what they hired.
Hurry, get him in the hearse. All right, New York. A discerning guest at a Manhattan cocktail party removed a scorpion from its bed of cheese on an endive leaf and popped it in his mouth, determined to savor the taste unadulterated. Nutty, sweet, was the verdict of the gourmet magazine food editor Ian Naur at the recent soiree.
That's an antenna. He then dropped dead from a stroke.
Yeah. That's an antenna, he added, pointing to a morsel of cricket left poking through lips of its companion. Founded in 1904, the exclusive international club has some 3,000 members around the world, including Edmund Hillary, the first man to ever climb Mount Everest, astronaut John Glenn, and paleontologist Richard Leakey. On the menu at the reception for some lesser mortals in June were worms, crickets, scorpions, ants, and pigeon pate.
Pigeon what?
Pate.
Yoda, you know, you're so loud sometimes.
I guarantee
pigeon
people...
Pigeon pate.
Yes. We're so fast to make fun or make comments about the way someone talks or the way someone walks, and food is like the last bastion, said Gene Gurka, the food expert, but someone today is living off of this.
I love his pickles.
Yeah.
Hey, have you guys ever seriously eaten any kind of like chocolate covered grasshoppers or any kind of bugs or
grasshopper
anything?
Legs?
I did by accident. Mom fooled me. Our mom gave me a chocolate covered ant. She said, "Try this," and I'm like, "Oh, that's good." She said, "This is an ant in it." I'm like, "Yeah!" And I started.
What about you, Bill?
I can't really say I've ever tried anything weird.
Now you're trying to pass the buck.
I've had rattlesnake. I've had, what else?
I mean, other than, like, regular foods where you can get, like, squid or octopus or...
Yeah, I mean, I've had plenty of calamari and
Not too many bugs.
Have you ever had any turbot?
I had gator once.
I accidentally ate a June bug on a roller coaster.
Nice.
Where's the turbot?
I so miss that show this week.
No, but I've had plenty of sherbet.
We got Hell's Kitchen back next week. Thank Christ.
Yes, I know.
Rurka, a biologist who has studied coral reefs in the Virgin Islands, devotes much thought to devising dishes for the Explorers Club annual dinner in March, where guests feast on tarantulas, maggots, and exotic parts of livestock such as eyeballs, testicles, and their penises.
That's called fear factor.
Yeah.
These people pay... I mean, I'm talking like $1,000 a plate.
You won't eat these gonads because you're fearful.
Yeah, and they charge
some of this penis.
You've moved me from the beginning.
And just to get one piece of a scorpion, you have to pay $30.
What?
I could go look under a rock outside. Cheaper than that.
Yeah.
And for the record, a worm pretzel or a wormzel. It's a little chewy, but doesn't taste too bad smothered with mustard.
You know what? This is stupid. They're stupid.
Let me tell
because
you.
Because it's not like you're traveling somewhere and having something that...
Yeah, there's only scorpions in that part of the world or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to... You know, it's just not a culinary adventure.
No,
it's
you
like,
know... what it is, Bill, is you're visiting a place where people are stupid enough to eat this shit on a regular basis.
Or that's where they have poor food.
Yeah.
Probably all rich, snooty pricks. They're like, ooh, I'm eating a scorpion. Oh, it's tasty.
Now, what you do is you hold it up, and then you count, and then just stick it in your mouth.
One, two, three. Go and eat it.
That's right. All right, Vanessa, thanks for doing the news this week. We really appreciate it.
Crunchy bugs.
If you were starving, do you think you would eat that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, if I was starving.
Like a scorpion? I mean,
Why not? You can pull off the tail.
I'd eat deep fried. That Asian lady would serve it.
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
All right, Bill, you ready to do some cult news?
Sure.
All right, Bill, cult news. What do you got for us?
I'm going to start this one off. Known for their persistent door-to-door missionary work and handout magazine called The Watchtower, Jehovah Witnesses have repeatedly predicted the end of the world with a sense of urgency to anyone willing to listen. However, the sect seems to repeatedly fail regarding its dates.
Sex.
Including sex. The sect. The sex! Those crazy, sexy Jehovah Witnesses.
Some are.
However, seems to repeatedly fail regarding its dates, including a purported final judgment set for 1925 and another that never came 50 years later.
Were those corrections right last time they predicted the end of the world?
I think technically the end of the world has already happened and we're just living in some sort of...
It's kind
of
like a lost theory, isn't it?
It's like the Matrix. We're living in the Matrix.
That's beautiful.
I'm playing!
According to the Religious Tolerance website, which is known for its frequent apologies rather than its admonishments regarding groups called cults, the Witnesses have actually made many more failed predictions. The theologically tolerant site without apology lists 1914, 1915, 1918, 1920, and 1994 as examples of additional witness failures.
Now, hey, Bill, can I interrupt you there for a second?
Absolutely.
That was all just a test.
Yeah,
and
it was a test of the emergency Jehovah Witness broadcast system.
It's in the Bible.
That's right. It's in the Bible. No, that's what you would do. You predict the end of the world. It's wrong. And when people say, hey, you predicted it, I was testing you.
Much more religiously conservative Christian websites. Much more religiously conservative Christian websites have longer lists of apparent blunders, such as the Watchman Expositor.
Which... I love that comic book.
Which examines the organization's supposedly biblical calculations. Perhaps as a result of all these mistakes, the Witnesses appear to have given up on the dating game. The group now says that the end is fluid, which sounds more like hedging a bet.
I heard they use a golden abacus.
Yeah. However,
That's
embarrassing fact still... Do you really, Steven?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I'm about ready to kill you.
However, an embarrassing fact still remains despite all the sex calculations, and that's
sex calculations? What is going on here?
Recalculations and
you don't know. You don't even have clue.
Jehovah Witnesses historically bought a great deal of real estate over the years in what seems to be a very shrewd, long-term investment effort. But if they really expect the world to end so soon, why didn't the Witnesses just lease? The reasoning for buying up so much property becomes quite clear when looking at the group's recent penchant for selling off its valuable accumulated assets. As Cult News previously reported, the Witnesses' religious devotion apparently includes developing real estate in New York and controversial organization.
It's almost like a religious Trump organization.
Join us, the Jehovah Witnesses, in L.A. this season.
And you can be the next Joe-ho.
And could controversial organization that some have called an end times cult, he made millions selling off and or developing its holdings in Brooklyn alone, where there was once a Watchtower magazine warehouse and distribution center near the East River. Swanky condominiums are going up with a view of Manhattan.
Hmm.
And now to put more of their New York property up on the block, reports Knowledgeplex. For sale is a three-story residential building at 409 Central Park West between West 100th and 101st Streets. The witnesses want $4.5 million for the air rights to this property and expect to stay on the first three floors, allowing a developer to build on top or adjacent to the property. They have another property at 960 East 174th Street in the Bronx, which is currently used for worship. However, the faithful have to meet somewhere else, as this property is currently listed at $1.35 million for development as affordable housing.
Wow.
Are raking in the dough.
Damn, dude. Look at that chunk, dude.
Of real estate.
Chunk funk.
Chunk funk of JoHo real estate.
That's right.
I think they started reading L. Ron Hubbard's research.
Right. It's like, hey, you know, we've been wrong before. Why don't we buy some real estate while we're waiting for the end of the world? And what do you
say? Let's make some money. Yeah.
Now, Bill, I don't think the Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult. How can you prove they are?
Yeah, I don't think they are.
Yeah, now, they're a cult.
Now, would you say a cult is one? Say, okay, no one believes they're in a cult. Do you agree with that, Stephen?
I'm not in a cult.
Yeah, that's right. No one believes they're in a cult. Now, I think it's this.
Mulberry-tology is not a cult.
If you are not allowed to question in anything, wouldn't you start to ask questions?
I thought a cult was usually, like, extreme, and they had to live in, like, an unconventional way.
No, that's no. Like a...
Now, here's a cult. When you know you're in a cult, it's when they tell you to cut off contact with people who aren't in your religion. Right. You know, they want you to name names.
No names, Bethan, just hair.
Yeah, they
a
want...
cult is totally about control.
It's all about control, and it has a lot to do with cutting yourself off from the outside world. Your life is your church. Your life is the religious beliefs, right? And also when they start dictating things to you. No one tells me what I'm going to celebrate or not. And that's the other thing. Whenever you can manipulate, say you have a Bible you follow, right? But let's say those people decide to change it this week, but they didn't say they changed it. It was God who changed it. They just told them to change it, right?
Yeah, it's like the Mormon religion where they believe some guy looked into a hat with seeing stones and an angel told them the Bible.
It is rocking. Bill, when you call something cult news, it's a very large parameter. What we're saying there is things that are kind of out of the norm, kind of crazy. People
cultish.
Jehovah's Witnesses have that stigma of those people who knock on your door and pass out magazines, that kind of thing.
When I say cult news, I don't necessarily mean even religion. There's cult television. There's cult movies. There's, you know, it's something that has a...
I'm the juggernaut, bitch. I'm going to hit you with your own pimp.
The juggernaut, he's the leader of a cult organization.
He'll hit you with your own pimp, so watch out.
If you don't pray.
Here's a quick story to close up cult news for us. The controversial Trapped in a Closet episode of South Park, which poked fun at Tom Cruise in Scientology, earned an Emmy Award nomination this week.
Wow. I don't piss people off.
We're just Scientologists.
The parody, which questioned Cruise's sexuality and mocked Scientology beliefs, was caught up in a controversy when it first aired last November and led to South Park regular Isaac Hayes, a fellow Scientologist, quitting the show. But rather than steer clear of the controversy, the Emmy voters have embraced it, declaring it worthy of a nod for outstanding animated program.
We're just Scientologists.
The controversial episode hasn't been repeated since the initial furor, and planned a re-airing in March was scrapped. South Park will compete with The Simpsons, Camp Lazlo, Family Guy, and Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
What the hell
did
you say?
The Emmys are announced next month.
What the hell was that last show?
Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
For, it's actually a pretty funny show. It's on Cartoon.
Oh, it's absolutely hilarious.
Snoopy Dog.
Is Snoopy Dog in that?
You gotta watch it.
Bloom is in it.
All right, Bill, is that the cold news this week?
Let's hit some DVDs.
Crunk up. Let's do some DVDs.
Woo! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. DVDs.
DVDs. DVDs. Steven, what happened to you there? You kind of disappeared.
My throat. Sorry.
All right, Bill. What do we got with DVDs this week? I hope we got some crazy stuff.
Oh yeah, it's real good this week.
Sound enthused?
Yeah. DVDs for July 11th, 2006. Starting off with a sequel that was made for no apparent reason, starring someone who shouldn't be naked. Basic Instinct 2 with Sharon Stone.
Oh Jesus!
Once again, her old box to anyone that cares to look.
Her box.
Yes.
What does that
you
mean?
You, in fact, have a box.
What are you talking about?
A lock and key.
Yes.
What are you talking about? What is a box of what? I got you. Mother of Soda's a mother's... Okay, go ahead,
what
Bill.
What the hell is that?
It's the bleep.
It's
you say a cuss word.
I'm not saying any cuss words.
Nobody's saying any cuss words.
Bill, I'm going to stop using that language, okay?
Okay, so if you want to go out and pick this one up and look at her breast assist, you can listen to the audio commentary with the director. There's 10 deleted scenes, an alternate ending, and a featurette.
Yeah, the movie next they asked to be made like 10 years ago.
You know what I've heard about Basic Instinct 2? It's a bad movie, but it's entertaining because it's so just
bad.
It's one of those movies that's so tacky, it's fun to watch. So I'm
like
definitely,
Showgirls.
I'm going to get out the cotton candy and I'm going to check it out.
I have that huge special edition of Showgirls with like the shot glass and
don't
all
talk
games
about that
and
movie.
Everything.
Makes me
I
Ill.
Think that it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. I just
it's beyond bad. I can't even watch it.
All right.
Next DVD, this one's for Jason because I'm certainly not a fan of this man's. Although I don't hate him, unlike Steven that does most Uh-oh. People.
You're really enjoying this, aren't you, you sick bastard?
Bill Maher, New Rules.
Oh, I can't stand him.
Oh, cool.
I have no idea what's on the DVD.
Let me show you what's that.
Yeah, it's basically the funniest part of his show every week is New Rules, and they've compiled it into one DVD.
Next DVD, we have a re-release because I don't know if it's been released how many times before, but Night Shift. One of the great films with Michael Keaton, Henry Winkler, Shelley Long.
Oh, that movie where he's a snowman. I love that.
No, that's Jack Frost.
I'm sorry.
This is Night Shift.
Oh, genius!
So, let the bodies hit the floor. It's got your full screen pan and scan and your 185:1 anamorphic widescreen.
Praise
transfer.
Full screen.
I think it's a dual-sided single layer, so it just there's no extras on it. It's just the movie.
Is Night Shift not one of the funniest movies ever?
It's a great movie.
It really is.
It's a great film.
Most people haven't even heard of it.
And this one, I'm stumped on this one here. Confused and flabbergasted. A few years ago, there was a XXX film called Pirates. It was a huge budget. It cost like $2 million. It's huge for porno.
Whoa.
They shot it on film, sets, everything. And they are releasing it on DVD in a newly edited R-rated edition.
Oh.
Now, why in the hell would you want a XXX porno in an R-rated edition?
So your teenager kids could watch it? I don't know.
It's a porno.
I know. It's got a
shit script to begin with. You buy it for the sex. I don't understand the R-rated. Maybe it's
hey, you. Get your damn hands off her.
I suppose it probably doesn't show any penetration or
you just wonder what happens with the peg leg, right?
Yeah.
Joe.
The world's first vibrator.
I'm going to stay masturbating a minute. Am I loud?
Next DVD is one I'm really looking forward to. This is incredible. Roadhouse 2 with Jonathan Schiff.
Holy shit.
What is it with Roadhouse?
Roadhouse Dose, The Last Call.
Dose.
Bangladesh.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is totally going in my collection. I think it
I gotta tell you, I am so excited.
Yeah, I've got a big load of chunk funk right on my finger.
Chunk
waiting
funk
for this one. Here's a movie that people saw and then went, did I just see this? Tristram Shandy, A Cock and Bull Story.
I've heard that's great.
Yeah, right.
I have.
Tristram Shandy
Don't
was a series
that.
Of...
Screw you, Foggy.
Don't
Tristram Shandy was a series of British comic novels that I don't think anyone ever finished. That you would start them and then fall asleep and stop reading it.
The
movie is like a tongue-in-cheek adaptation of the novels, kind of like an autobiography sort of thing. I haven't heard a lot of good about it, but as Jason said, I guess people like it. Exactly.
And Gillian Anderson's in it from The X-Files. What the hell happened to her?
Next DVD is the most important DVD. Coming from one of the most important studios, Troma, we have Zombiegeddon.
Zombiegeddon.
Yes, the end of the world has come. And
it's like a play on words. Armageddon. Zombiegeddon.
Yes. You know, in Zombiegeddon, Tom Savini appears as Jesus Christ himself.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this like a real zombie movie, or is it one of the... Like, Troma films, I would like them better, but they get a little too ridiculous.
Dude, it's zombies, kung fu, zombie-eating tigers, and Joe Estevez.
Nice.
How person not?
Joe Estevez is in it?
Yeah, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
What is it exactly that you do?
I'm a doctor. What about you?
No. I kill zombies.
And it's got Felisa Rose, who was in Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, hell yeah.
Awesome.
She's genius.
Pure genius.
All right, Bill, thanks for DVDs this week. I'm going to pick all those up.
Terrific. He, you know...
Stop that! Alright guys, if you'd like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com, and there you can send Vanessa hate mail. Also, if you want to send us a voicemail, go to 1-206-202-3491. I would like for you to sing us a song. And you know, one thing I haven't mentioned to people, they don't have to call our voicemail. You can make an MP3 and just send it to me at nimpodcast@gmail.com if, you know, you don't want to use the phone. In fact, it's better audio. I encourage it because, you know, sometimes it's pretty bad audio. Like Credo, poor guy was locked in a friggin' trunk somewhere, but at least he got out. Also, if you want to join us on Friday night chat night, Steven, if you'd like to join us sometime.
let's see if my work can schedule me to fly in before midnight sometime.
Yeah, could you do me a favor and request that, I gotta make chat night on Friday? It's like, what the hell? It's like, get you a sexual kick somewhere else, pal.
Sometimes Vanessa shows up and everyone turns into a flirting degenerate.
Oh, whatever.
That's right. And if you'd like to turn into a flirting degenerate, join us next Friday. Now, just remember, guys, when you think of our show, think of this.
Crunk up! Crunk up!
Oh, no.
Hello! We'll be right back.
I hate when that happens.
Unbelievable.
Now this is podcasting.